All right. I'm going to read a few verses. We're just going to warm up here before the bell rings. And let's read something out of Proverbs here for a moment. And this is Proverbs 14:29. And it says here, "He that is slow to wrath is great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit is all folly." In other words, they exalt folly because they lack closure. And so therefore they want to push for immediate resolve. And that's why he says hasty of spirit. They're pushing for immediate resolve, okay, because they lack closure. Of course, we carry the peace of God. Hey, our peace is expressed through our charity and faith. All right? And that's in Proverbs 14:29. Okay, as Solomon is instructing Rehoboam, his son, and also those of his household, as he's pinning down these Proverbs, this is what the anointing was revealing to him. And this has to do with regard to the ineffectualness of the law. Okay, the law only magnified and emphasized the sin, okay, of the Adamite, and emphasized the sin, the conditions of the defiled conscience. That's all it was revealing. Okay, and also at the same time expressed certain restrictions for the expression of passion, okay, that needs to be redirected. Okay, so what the law could not do, God provided a better covenant did. Okay, because it started with the purging of the conscience. Okay, but that which is the law marginalized, okay, by the moral code. Okay, so that which is the law was marginalized by the moral code, and Satan entered into that, okay, for self-righteousness. But this was in Proverbs 14:29. If you want to make a note on that in your notepad. Here's another one, Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Because you can see when principle comes against principle. A soft answer shows that there's a communion of knowledge. That turns away wrath. Okay, but the principle, the sowing of the principle, is grievous. And so therefore, grievous words stir up anger. That's Proverbs 15:1. Solomon also witnessed that in the council of his brothers, Adonijah, and also we can see the same thing in Absalom, the contention that existed among the princes. So Solomon was a witness to that, and that's why he sought the wisdom of God. And he also leaned to the counsel of his father, King David. Well, here's another one out of Proverbs. Then we'll read something out of the book of Thecla. Okay, out of the book of Thecla there. But this is Proverbs 16:1-3. "The preparations of the heart and man, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." I thought that was kind of interesting, the preparations of the heart. This is how God installs within the conscience, when the vessel is in a trance of sleep. Okay, God establishes these things. Okay, and this has to do with his own testimony. So he does these things, whether it be for the sinner or for the righteous. "The preparations of the heart man, and the answer tongue is from the Lord." The purpose of this is for full disclosure. Okay, because the conscience cannot conceal. Okay, the heart. The conscience can't conceal the heart. So Adam hid among the trees. Okay, he looked for the natural concealment rather than the spiritual concealment. We have spiritual concealment through the vessels and tokens of the covenant. And the Lord covers us, okay, with his robe. So we have spiritual concealment, a covering. Okay, but the natural covering is insufficient. Okay, and the state of the conscience will always cry out revenge. So the preparation is the heart and man, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And then in verse 2, he says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes." And of course, this is something similar that I posted on Twitter there. Okay, and regarding that, every believer feels within themselves, okay, that they are the wheat and not the tares. Every believer feels that they stand on the right side of God, okay, and not directly opposed to him. Okay, but the belief system is corrupt. Okay, if the belief system is corrupt, okay, so is the fruit. Okay, that's the tares. Okay, but if the belief system is built upon that which is grace and truth, okay, then the tethering is secure, okay, and righteousness, okay, is obtained. So all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Okay, but the Lord weighs the spirits. I thought that was kind of interesting. Okay, the Lord weighs the spirit or looks for equity and then judges accordingly. Okay, that's why faith gives us that equity with God. So the Lord weighs the spirits and finds that we have value. Okay, another, we go on here. So commit your works unto the Lord. We're standing at the altar of our priesthood. We're committing our works to Him, so we're sowing and laboring. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts should be established. That means your perceptions should be settled, and we settle our perceptions in faith, because this is where confidence is. Okay, our perspective changes, okay, as we grow in grace. Okay, let's read something here. We got about a minute to go. This is out of Book of Thecla. I put this under Paul and Thecla there. We have this, it's in chapter 1:1-3, if you want to make a note on that. Okay, if you order the Lost Books of Eden, okay, it will be found in there. Okay, so when Paul went up to Iconium after his flight from Antioch, Demas and Hermogenes became his companions. Now we know about Demas and Hermogenes later on, there in the book of Timothy, right, who were then full of hypocrisy. They were religious men, but true to themselves. But Paul, looking only at the goodness of God, did them no harm, but loved them greatly. I mean, he sought to direct their understanding, okay, within the terms of the covenant, okay, and not harshly beat them, okay, in regarding their choices. So accordingly, he endeavored to make agreeable to them all the oracles and doctrines of Christ, and the design of the gospel of God's well-beloved Son. Of course, not the law of Moses, but that of the design of God's well-beloved Son. That has to do with the pattern of the new covenant, instructing in the knowledge of Christ as it was revealed to him. All right, here's another one, Paul and Thecla, chapter 1, verse 15. Blessed are they who abandon their secular enjoyments, for they shall be accepted of God. In other words, they're not pursuing for the pleasure of honor and flattery of this world. We're crucifying or putting to death the aspiration, okay, by the tokens of this new covenant. All right, one more here. This is out of Paul and Thecla, chapter 2:1-2. This is what has to do with what was Paul's sermons, okay, or what do they contain? Well, this reveals some of that. Now, while Paul was preaching this sermon in a church, which is in the house of Onesiphorus, a certain virgin named Thecla, whose mother's name was Theocla, and who was betrothed to a man named Thamyris, she sat at a certain window in her house. Of course, from there she had an advantage, from when she had by the advantage of the window in the house where Paul was. She both night and day heard Paul's sermons. And his sermons, of course, had to do concerning God, concerning charity, concerning faith in Christ, and concerning prayer. Of course, we can see these are the elements and activity, okay, of this new covenant. But what wasn't mentioned here, there was nothing mentioned of tithing, wealth, the Virgin Mary, communion, or water baptism. Okay, but rather God, charity, faith in Christ, and prayer. So I thought it was kind of interesting that she enumerates these things, or the letter that was written enumerates these things there. The knowledge which Paul built with. All right, for those who are just coming in, we just read a few selected scriptures. All right, and we're also continuing on the book of Ephesians. So make sure you put your marker there in Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, and we're around chapter 5, verse 20. Okay, last week we talked about the fellowship. Okay, the fellowship, which has to do with be your followers of God as dear children. Okay, and the Apostle Paul also warns about whoremongers. Okay, as we talked about those things, which was in verse 5. Okay, the whoremonger is a plunderer of faith. Okay, and we can see the Apostle Paul is providing contrast for the brethren there at Ephesus. Now, they were under his immediate stewardship, and he was writing letters of confirmation to them. Okay, not only was Paul also caring for the assemblies there at Ephesus, some of the assemblies, but also the Apostle John. Okay, and when he was taken to heaven, also wrote certain terms of correction there, okay, at Ephesus, concerning the doctrines or teachings in the Nicolaitans. Of course, the Apostle Paul, okay, was bringing their understanding further on. Okay, and this is what he talks about, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which is a mixing of covenants. Okay, they say they believe on Jesus Christ, but yet they're working with physical or earthly tokens. In fact, we'll be talking more about that here in a moment, okay, in the Gospel of John, okay, when Jesus talks about the Comforter. Okay, so we touched on a few of these things about the fruitful works and the unfruitful works and what it means to walk in love. And this is what Jesus was conveying to his apostles before his crucifixion and his resurrection and ascension. Okay, and to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Okay, when we get there to the book of the Gospel of John, we'll see what it means to walk in love. Okay, we talked also about speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, which has to do with this is the persuasion which we're confirming. Okay, we're confirming this charity in harmony with Him. So we're saying, speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That means confirming this persuasion of charity. Okay, this you'll find it in your prayers, to also to walk in harmony with Him. Prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, and government, truth, and spirit. You will find the threefold cord throughout all the epistles. The threefold cord. Okay, beginning with that government. The foundation of truth and the labor of the spirit. Okay, so giving thanks always for all things. So see that in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, which has to do with showing forth this pattern. We're showing forth the pattern of the spiritual tokens, okay, which God sanctified concerning what He's writing in our heart and what we're expressing with our lips. Okay, the sanctification of this fire, okay, or the anointing. Okay, that which came upon Jesus at John the Baptist's water baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit descended from above, we see water and fire. Okay, water and fire, and Jesus the mediator of this transition. Okay, from the old covenant to a new covenant and to a better covenant. Okay, John the Baptist brought to the attention of the people of that time and that through his stewardship, okay, though it was evil spoken against by the established traditions of the religious system, okay, John the Baptist continually brought forth for that period of time a transition would be taking place. And he talked about a suffering and crucified Messiah, as he also talked about, see, a glorified Messiah in a millennial reign. So there's a lot of things which John the Baptist was disclosing, but he couldn't put together as concerning the eventual outcome, which was going to come first, and how this was going to come about. Okay, he wasn't sure, because the Spirit did not want to reveal that yet. Okay, Jesus was going to disclose that with his apostles later on, okay, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, okay, and be rejected of this generation and rise again the third day. These things he disclosed personally to his apostles. Okay, when he came down from the mount, okay, whereas Moses and Elijah both affirmed his mission and confirmed him concerning the law and the prophets, which he's fulfilling, it was at that time that he had open disclosure. Hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to be crucified in Jerusalem. Now, John the Baptist couldn't establish quite, okay, the order of the events, okay, of how these things would unfold. Okay, now we're going back here, okay, to verse 20, giving thanks. So we're showing forth this pattern by the spiritual tokens. Okay, the spiritual tokens, those things which are sanctified by His fire. So the things which He's purging within us by the anointing, grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, which only addressed, okay, the conditions of the soul or the defiled conscience and the evil conscience. Though it was revealing these things, it could not provide the remedy of cleansing until Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, so the transitional stages which Jesus spoke about, okay, was rather elusive to his apostles at the time of his earthly ministry. And of course, we're going to bring more of that out when he talks about the Comforter. So we're giving thanks to the Father. Okay, we're showing forth something. Okay, we're showing forth these tokens of this new and better covenant. So highlight the word God there, because we're talking about, okay, the fire charity. Okay, the fire charity which purges and purifies us to be received back to the Father's bosom, but with increase, with profit. We came out from the Father's bosom, okay, with nothing, but we're returning to Him with everything. We're returning to Him with His fullness. We came out with nothing but returning to Him in His fullness. We can see this within the pattern of nature. Okay, when the farmer exercises the power of his of a sowing, okay, he waits with expectation upon receiving, okay, as much, okay, again, okay, for the reward of his labor. And our Father is the same way. He put a sign or a symbolism within that. Okay, the laboring. Of course, Chief Elder James brings that out. Giving thanks always for all things. Okay, for all things, which has to do with identifying the spiritual tokens, not the earthly tokens, not the corruptible tokens, not the perishable things. Okay, but the eternal tokens, the things which will never perish, but will ever gain value, okay, upon passages of time. It gains value. It's something like a rare wine or a rare coin. Okay, a coin that's just freshly minted, okay, is only worth, okay, the amount that was stamped upon it. Okay, but when hundreds of years pass, okay, something that was printed at that time 100 years ago suddenly has gained a great value later on. Okay, it's the same thing. What God imprinted upon us and upon our hearts, okay, is something that is going to be received back to him, okay, with a much greater value. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. And when he says the Father, we're talking about is concerning his parental oversight, okay, and our place of origin, parental oversight and place of origin, which is through the veil of the throne. Okay, we pass through the veil of the altar, through the courts of the temple, okay, through the veil of the throne, okay, which Jesus spoke of himself as being that door. I'm the door and access. I'm the key of life. Okay, and so through his stewardship, he's going to provide to us a key of knowledge for our faith so that our reciprocation be equal to that of himself and not fall short of that glory. Falling short of the glory of God, which means being fruitless in endeavor, is fruitless in endeavor. The ungodly are fruitless in their works, in their works of charity. They're fruitless in that. Because all the works of charity of the ungodly, okay, is esteemed, okay, by the values of the world, the tokens of the world, the gold, the silver, the things of this world. So giving thanks always for all things, okay, unto God and the Father and the name, so I hate the word the name there, because we're talking about the authorized sanctified tokens of ownership. Okay, that this is tokens of ownership of his kingdom. These tokens identify the kingdom which we're associating with. Okay, the tokens which we have received, beginning at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's only the beginning. That provides you access to the door. But once you come to the door, okay, you're coming now into the house of labor, laboring with the tokens of your covenant. Okay. And so Jesus gave an example of that in five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. All 10 of them knew the point of access, but only 5 entered in. Okay, only 5 entered in. The other 5 were denied access. They were denied access because they also denied him the oil. Okay, those that entered in had vessels full of oil. Okay, that means they had that token seal. Okay, the token seal and functions of the covenant. Okay, where the others, okay, they didn't have that token seal, nor did they function their covenant. We'll be talking more about that too, as concerning a sin unto death. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is not to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and is to replace his Son with the logic of the law, the carnal mind using the natural things of the law to represent his invisible kingdom, but not embracing Christ. Which sin, of course? Of sin because they believe not in me. Okay, that's what Jesus was talking about. Sin because they believe not in me. That is a new priesthood was going to be provided for them. But denying the due process of that is a sin unto death. So let's look at that. Okay, and let's jump over to the Gospel of John chapter 14. So put your marker here. Okay, in Ephesians, and turn your Bibles over to John 14. And John 14, we'll start around verse 15. Okay, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is what Jesus said. Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means you must express me under terms of this new law, which has to do with the invisible priesthood. Now keep that in mind. The invisible priesthood. Jesus is already preparing the apostles for a different priesthood, for a different covenant, under a different law, okay, which has to do with that law of grace. So if you express me in charity, you have to keep this ordered activity. That's a commandment, an ordered activity. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. He didn't say Moses' commandments. He says, keep my commandments. And then if you keep my commandments, this shows that you're in reciprocation of the stewardship. Okay, the mediator of this covenant. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. How do you do the word comforter there? That he may abide with you forever. Okay, if you love me, let's go back to that. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray for you. Because he's saying, I'll pray for you, mean it is here where you receive remission of sin, even as Job prayed for his three friends. Okay, Job prayed for his three friends, and the Lord forgave them, and they received enlightenment that Job indeed, okay, was a steward of God. Okay, so I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. How do you do a comforter there? Okay, this other comforter here is not that of Moses. So he's saying it is here where you will receive your remission of sins, the mediation of stewardship, that which God sanctifies, but not the law of Moses. Okay, not that which is written on stone tablets, but that which is engrafted in the heart. A new law and commandment. A new law and commandment now. This is to carry this pattern for power in the Father's bosom. So what's prepared in you at this present time in this dimension of the waters, okay, is for the purpose of transition, hatching out of this dimension, okay, and into a new dimension, a new world. Okay, like a little chicken. A chicken coming out of his shell. It's in one world inside the shell, but then it enters into a new world. In other words, this new world, okay, is for its exploration, okay, and also for its survival. Okay, and the Lord's provided us a comforter, okay, for our survival. Okay, a comforter called the Spirit of Truth. Now we'll talk about it here in verse 17. Okay, verse 17. For it would be here and there. That's what he's talking about. Even a Spirit of Truth. Here now and there later. Even, see the word even there in verse 17. He's talking about two places. Here now and there later. I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comfort that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father now and he will give you a new comfort that he may abide with you forever. There. Here. There. And it has to do with this is a seed and token of due process. So even the Spirit of Truth, okay, here and there, the anointing will confirm the Father's will, okay, which the protesters and, of course, the faithless ones will refuse, okay, so whom the world cannot receive. They'll refuse it. They refuse the stewardship. They also deny the priesthood, okay, and when you do that, okay, they also deny the Father, which gave us these tokens. So even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. This priesthood is invisible, he says. It's not joined to the Levitical genealogies, okay, or visible temple, invisible tokens. It's invisible, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. But you know him now. Now you see him in me, as Jesus says. You see him in me as I speak this mystery to you. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Jesus, speaking of his stewardship, and his new priesthood, and shall be in you. Okay, that's two places, now and there. So, but the world, they can't hear truth through the stewardship, so they'll use the law for their justification. They can't hear the voice of the Lord in the stewardship, so they revert back to the law, okay, for the voice of their conscience. They're using the law for the voice of their conscience, okay, and not the anointing. If you use anointing for the voice of your conscience, then faith is present, and our Father rewards you with gifts. Okay, but if the law is used for the voice of the conscience, then there's nothing but condemnation and wrath, okay, and of course, death. Okay, and now verse 18, I, Jesus, speaking of his stewardship, I will not leave you or abandon you. I will not leave you nor abandon you. Okay, so I will not leave you comfortless. I will not abandon you without tokens. When I leave, I'm going to give you something. I'm giving you tokens, he says, so I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, for I am in this power for your rest now and forever. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm in this covenant. I'm in this power now. Okay, that's for your rest now and forever. Verse 19, yet a little while. That is, my presence here is only for the purpose to establish this witness and a testimony in my flesh. Okay, which sinners, of course, can't comprehend. Remember, the light has come in this world and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay, so he's talking about his presence. My presence and my mission, those which are with a defiled conscience, which is darkness, they will not be able to comprehend this. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Again, what Jesus is emphasizing here is my presence here is only for this purpose, to establish this witness, okay, and testimony in my flesh. Okay, this has to do with the fulfillment of all the Psalms, the Law, and the Prophets, okay, which he did. He provided all these things in himself. And he says, a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Okay, but you can see me in this new knowledge. This is a knowledge of life, which awakens the conscience. And because of this, you shall live also. That is to expand the womb. You shall live also as a seed. You shall expand the womb, that is of the holy city, okay, which cannot be hid. Okay, a seed is a mustard seed to grow into a forest. Okay, a seed, okay, will grow into a forest. Okay, we can see again how this is unfolded in the parables of God's creation. Okay, that which is of one seed becomes a multitude. We see this in the prophecy to Abraham. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Okay, and your seed shall be as the stars of heaven for multitude and as the sand upon the seashore, innumerable. One seed, stewardship of faith. Okay, and Jesus is providing himself, okay, as that living and eternal seed, beginning in Abraham for understanding, okay, and for transition. Because I live, you shall live also. Now, at that day, I mean, this sign will happen at the time of fulfillment. Now, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. How will we know this? Because I have entered back my Father's bosom. When I send to my Father, I'm going to send a Comforter. Okay? And you will know when I have ascended, because the evidence will be present. The proof will be present. Okay? When you come down from the upper room, okay? You'll be speaking in another language. A new circumcision will have taken place, and tokens of adoption. So at that time you shall know, okay, that I'm in my Father. That is, I've entered my Father's bosom as one light. Okay, of course we'll also bear witness of that again. Okay, at the baptism of light, when we will join Jesus Himself entering back into the Father's bosom. Okay, this is to establish the eternal testimony. Okay, our record. Okay, which is perpetual after the order of Melchizedek, whereas we will reign as kings and priests in assigned dimensions in the lot which God has prepared for us, a mansion in heaven. This is what the Lord was talking about. Okay, I have prepared a place for you. Okay, so he's speaking of things, okay, of the events which are going to be unfolding in the 10th week, the 10th Enochian week. Right now, we're in the 2nd, 8th Enochian week. Okay, soon to come is the 7th Enochian week, followed by the 9th Enochian week, and then the 10th Enochian week. Okay, that's the final week of this plan, which will fulfill that which was assigned Jesus, okay, in this particular name, in particular manner, the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, saith the Lord. Okay, and then he says, it is done. All things are new. Now you see that in the book of Revelation. He will say, it is done. So there were different stages of fulfillment, which Jesus emphasized to his apostles. When he was hanging on a cross, he said, it is done. That means this part of this stage of the plan, has now been completed, only to now open another door for the next stage to begin. Okay, and we'll see the same thing in the baptism of light, okay, whereas the third covenant will be initiated. So he goes on here, verse 20. Now at that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, and you and me, and I in you. So we can see a completed cycle. You and me, and I in you. That's a completed cycle. To complete the cycle of life for you. That is by my seal for your atonement, beginning with a pure conscience. So that by my spirit, your sanctified spirit, soul, and body. okay, to enter back to the Father's bosom. You see the due process. Right? So the tokens which I provide for you in this new priesthood qualifies you for the reentry, okay, or for the return to my Father, but with increase. At the day you should know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's a complete cycle. Now, he that has my commandments, see that verse 21, he that hears the voice of this ordered activity in my record, he loves my name and builds my house by the Spirit, by my Spirit. So he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He will express this charity in this priesthood, the transitional priesthood. Okay, not the priesthood of the law, okay, nor the earthly priesthood. Okay, but the eternal priesthood is where we love him. So he that loves me and expresses this charity and truth, of course, not feigning my witness, and we can see that we're able to identify those which feign his witness. Those which claim, believers which claim to represent God, okay, but do not represent him in truth, will have and present a feigned witness, okay, which is fantasy, flattery, and finance. Okay, things which they can associate with, which the world honors. Okay, the world honors, okay, those things, okay, which they feel would be beneficial for themselves. Okay, even the doctrines of men. Okay, the world honors the doctrines of men when they feel that it has something beneficial to it, like the false prophetic movement. Okay, the false prophetic movement provided, okay, a misdirect concerning the plan of God. Okay, but it provided, okay, a certain body of knowledge, okay, which would, okay, you could say, flatter the, okay, a re-election, okay, like flattering the re-election of Donald Trump. Okay, that was feigned charity. Okay, it was feigned out of their heart. Though they believed that it was truly of the Lord, they believed that, okay, but that didn't make it, in fact, truly of the Lord. So it's feigned faith. Okay, feigned faith, it will not produce the substance, okay, of that hope. So he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me and expresses the charity and truth, okay, not feigning my witness. So, and he that loves me, which means he that sows my name, shall be loved of my Father. So we see here the feminine record, okay, for the purpose of the masculine witness, the record and the witness, okay, the masculine and the feminine. Okay, so we see the tokens, these tokens are necessary for completing the cycle. Okay, and we initiate these things to our priesthood. Your priesthood is the point of mating. Okay, we see this in the Song of Solomon. Okay, the Song of Solomon, okay, bears that out, okay, but it puts it within a parable. Things that are true to life, but puts it into a parable to convey a mating of this kingdom, okay. And that's what Jesus said: the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The mating season has arrived by my presence and knowledge, okay, by my stewardship and by this priesthood. So he that has my commandments and keeps them, that builds by this record, that builds the house by the Spirit, and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. So we see the feminine and the masculine, the record and the witness now coming together, bonding together. Shall be loved of my Father, okay, and I will love him. That is because of this, okay, I sow life in your soul. I sow life in your soul from the tokens or gifts of my throne. Okay, and I'll grant signs and experiences for you to know me. Okay, this is what the anointing does. Okay, the anointing provides this experience. So we're going to jump to chapter 16. We'll start in verse 8. Yeah, so let's turn your page over there to chapter 16 of John. And we're going to continue on there. Then we're going to see more about what the Apostle John was writing about in his epistle. Okay, now we'll start in verse 7 here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Okay, and of course, when Jesus said the word truth, he wasn't talking about something that's generic. Okay, that which is common among man. Not the truth of this world. Okay, the truth of the world stands only with a record of the one that's speaking it. Okay, but the truth of God stands in the one that's speaking in his position. Okay, Jesus Christ. And that's why he identified himself okay, being that foundation for us. I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, what he says, what he does, and his product. Okay, the product of this. So nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. That means this, it is of most importance that I return to my Father. It is expedient for you that I go away. That is to bring about this union. Okay, this is chapter 16. Okay, and we just, Jesus just spoke of some things in the previous chapter there, in chapter 14. Okay, he just spoke of these things, this mystery about the Comforter. And he brings this out also again, okay, in chapter 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay, let's see the due process on this one. Now, the sinners and the protesters would deny this. So to deny this is to ruin my Father's pleasure. To deny this due process is to ruin my Father's pleasure. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. That is the Comforter, which means for the seal of my voice will be in a token priesthood. This is what you need. But the law will deny this transition. Okay, and the law also only observes dead things. The law observes dead things which cannot cleanse the conscience. Not the water baptism of the law cannot cleanse the conscience. See, nor the giving of tokens as tithing. Okay, nor its circumcision. Okay, nor the observing of the hours of the day, not the Sabbath day. That can't cleanse your conscience. So here he's talking about something that can cleanse the conscience. Okay, my kingdom begins in your conscience. That's what Jesus is talking about. My kingdom begins in your conscience. Okay, and it will heal the soul and save your body. I will physically resurrect you, and you shall live with me forever, just like I'm in the flesh. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, Jesus is talking about this mystery of unity, of elements, okay, of light, now dwelling within the house of our Father. So let's go on here. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. But what he's saying, but I will leave to complete the cycle of life by this gift. Okay, and this sign will happen upon my leaving. The Spirit will convict the heart of the defiled conscience when the illumination is present and point to a new and better covenant. Faith must be joined to this for your discernment and scale. So when the Comforter comes, when he has come, you notice this is what's going to happen. Illumination for service in the priesthood for your discernment. So when you come, he will prove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because he believed not in me. They refused the priesthood. They refused the priesthood of this new record, which I'm providing for you in my blood. Okay, and new covenant stewardship. This is what they're going to refuse because they don't understand it. They don't see it. They can't understand its value. So when he has come, he reproved the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Sin because they believed not in me. You might want to highlight that. They believed not in me. That means they believed not on my priesthood. They believed not in me. Who's me? My priesthood. After the order of Melchizedek. There is people that believe in the existence of Jesus. Okay, but are they saved? Okay, because of that honorable mention? No. They don't accept this priesthood. They're initiating a false priesthood. All right, to replace his priesthood. That's what the beast is going to do. And that's what the Antichrist spirit has done since the very beginning. Since the very beginning, the Antichrist spirit has replaced the tokens of which God sanctifies, okay, with personal tokens, their own tokens, their own perceptions. We can see that in the sacrifices of Cain, okay, in comparison to that which is the sacrifice of Abel. Okay, from the fruit of the field, Cain provided a sacrifice, whereas Abel provided that which he did not labor for, a lamb. Okay, Abel offered that which God was pleased with because he offered it with faith. Okay, but Cain, okay, offered it with deception, feigned faith. He was only feigning it. He was going through the motions. Okay, but he wasn't. But his intentions were not to build. Okay, his intentions was to plunder. Okay, I'll do this because if I do this, then God will bless me. Okay, and I'll receive a benefit from it, so I'll do it. Okay, that's feigned faith. Okay, we do it because we love God. Okay, knowing that if we love God, okay, that he will sustain us. Okay, so of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, because I'm the true scale for your faith, okay, of your faith in my throne, and an invisible priesthood of righteousness. This is the standard which he's initiating, which we follow today. So we're following the due process of this fulfillment of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, because I have an invisible priesthood, and also for your altar, after your Melchizedek. Invisible priesthood, okay, an invisible altar. Not an altar of stone, okay, or a physical temple. Now here he says in verse 11 of judgment, what could that possibly mean? Well, this is for your discernment. Because what he's saying, after the due process of sin, righteousness, now judgment. Now you're able to discern between those who love me and those who don't love me. Okay, which before, okay, those which feigned their love towards God. We can see this in the priesthood of the children of Israel. Okay, whereas they could feign their faith. So of judgment, highlight the word judgment there, highlight the word sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That means I remove Satan's power of justifications. Okay, that is justifications in the conscience. Okay, by removing the law to my law of grace, by moving the law, okay, of condemnation to the law of sanctification. From the law of condemnation, which is under Moses, to the law of sanctification under my grace. Right? Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So now, Satan is exposed by my new law, which Jesus is talking about. The anointing will not work with their religious aspirations. Okay, their works you shall reprove. You will now reprove their works. Now we see this as we go on here. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now, because your conscience is yet defiled. But when I rise from the dead and give you the Comforter, okay, all these things will now come back to your mind. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, okay, that means what Jesus is saying, but at that time when I breathed upon you this life. So this baptism will water the seed of my labor in you, this knowledge. Howbeit when he, this anointing, howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, okay, he will not lie. That's why he called the Spirit of Truth. He will not lie. He does not stand to the aspiration. He only stands to the scale, okay, of my throne. He doesn't stand to the aspiration, scale the aspiration of man, which is that of the flesh and earthy, okay, but he stands to the scale of my throne. So when he has come, he will guide you in all truth. See that? He will guide you. Here we see the word reprove in verse 8. Now we see the word guide here in verse 13. He will guide you into all truth. Now remember, he's talking to his apostles. He's not talking to a general audience. He's talking to his apostles here. Those which have accepted this testimony, those which are following his record, those are the ones he's talking to. Now when you get an individual, a believer, okay, that's not converted, reading these same verses, they arrive at different conclusions. Okay, that they have the authority to stand as God's voice. Just because they read about it. Okay, it's not in the letter, it's in the anointing. It's in the calling, not in the precept. So howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. That means he's going to assist your understanding concerning my character, my purpose, my plan. What I say, what I do in this product, the true work of regeneration will begin to unfold in you. Okay, for he shall not speak of himself, which means my spirit speaks on my behalf. Okay, but the spirit of this world speaks on behalf of the voice of their own record. For he shall not speak himself, not a voice for himself, independent of the Godhead. That's why we have so many independent ministries today, because they're speaking of themselves. Okay, they're independent ministries. They're all living in their own tents. They haven't come yet to the tent of the Lord, to the one house which God has sanctified. Okay, for he shall not speak himself, but whatsoever he shall hear that's in the throne, that shall he speak or confirm here. That which he hears there in the throne, that shall he speak here. Okay, and he will show you things to come. He will recall all things you heard in my Father's bosom, the things now and future baptism of light. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. I like the word glorify there. That means by this power you shall increase my house. So he shall glorify me. He doesn't say he should glorify it, which means the temple, the temple of man, but the temple of God. He should glorify me. Because the heaven of heavens cannot be contained in the temple of man. And we see that, okay, written, as it was written of Solomon. Okay, Solomon's prayer. Okay, that which is constructed cannot possibly contain God. That which is constructed of man. But that which is constructed of God can contain him. He's building his own house by the Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. Okay, that means the Spirit will bear all my gifts and my fullness, for he shall receive of mine. That's his fullness. These bear my name, and you shall know my voice, okay, as in knowledge, dreams, visions, and powers my visitations. This is what the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews 6:5. If you want to make a note on that, Hebrews 6:5. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine, which means I'm the reality of all creation. All things the Father has are mine. Okay, this was established in the bosom before the world began. It is now coming to pass as it was initiated. This is what John talks about in the beginning of his letter right here in the gospel. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, which means as point of origin. Okay, it was with him because it was initiated, and the Word was God, because it should return to him in his fullness. Okay, this, the Holy Ghost is going to sustain his divine work now and forever. So all things the Father has are mine. Therefore I send you that he shall take of mine, that is, embrace this record only, and shall show it unto you and unfold these mysteries. He shall take of mine, my priesthood, and unfold it unto you, and shall show it unto you, unfold these mysteries. That's why those which are unconverted are trying to pry into the psyche of God, okay, just by precept and line. You can't pry into the psyche of God. The anointing must be revealed. Okay, truth isn't discovered, it's revealed. And it's revealed through the stewardship, that which God has anointed, and unfold these mysteries to the church. Now we're going to go to 1 John. Okay, and we're in 1 John chapter 5. Okay, let's start around verse 13. And we'll go from verse 13 to 18. Now these things have I written unto you. Now this is the John that we just read about in this gospel. Okay, now he's unfolding these mysteries in the epistle. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. There's the word believe there. That means you're accepting this testimony and record. Okay, you're accepting this testimony and record. Okay, to acknowledge, mold with, and submit to. Okay, you're walking in the straight and narrow way. Okay, straight way, narrow gate. Only the anointing can provide you access through the narrow gate. Because it is so straight. Okay, that it's impossible to pass through it. Okay, but the anointing gives you the power to pass through it. So these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God. There's the word name again. Okay, that is the sanctified tokens and the seal of his ownership to build his kingdom with, that you are the sons of God. So we're talking about, these are the tokens of your adoption, that you believe in the name of the Son of God, the tokens of our adoption, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, these are the tokens that give us these reassurances, the reassurances of his grace. This is the saving power. This is the saving power here. Okay, that the grace of God, okay, is not a non-functional token. The grace of God is a living, present, functioning token. Because we're talking about the anointing. Living, present, functioning, anointing. That's why he's talking about the Comforter. Okay, the Comforter shall abide with you forever. What is he going to do with you? Okay, and the definition of grace in the false religious system, it's just a point of existence with no function. Okay, divine favor or unmerited favor. And the definition of grace, the definition of it is put within the form of text, okay, that renders it unprofitable. Okay, and even the world uses that word grace, okay, that is unprofitable. Okay, we use the grace which is profitable, living, present. He shall be with you forever. Okay, so this is what John here is talking about. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. the anointing is ever present with you, that you may know that you have eternal life. So you have many tokens of assurances, eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. See the word believe again. That you accept the yoke of this adoption in your priesthood. When you're functioning in your priesthood, you're accepting the terms. Okay, you're accepting the terms of this engagement. It's the same thing when you assign a contract. When you sign a contract, okay, you're accepting the terms of this form of engagement, okay, or form of exchange. Okay, now this contract has been signed and sealed, provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead in order to oversee this transaction, the transaction of our adoption. Tokens of ownership to build his kingdom. Now, this is the confidence. I like the word confidence there, okay, which has to do with the endurance of faith. This power is the endurance of faith that we have in him, okay, that is in this covenant priesthood. That if we ask anything according to his will, that his power in his covenant priesthood, he hears us and gives, that is, to gives us wisdom. He gives us wisdom, which is the great and personal promises. The same thing with Abraham. Great and personal promises. Okay, how do we know that? Well, we can see, okay, as things transpired in Abraham's life, okay, the great and precious promises, the personal promises. Okay, one has to do with the plan which Abraham is subjected to and working with, and those things also, okay, of his own personal petitions and regarding to that. Okay, when he made a personal petition, okay, concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, and the presence of Lot there, okay, in Sodom. Okay, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Okay, great and precious promises. So we see many examples of this. Okay, even in the Davidic covenant, the things which were revealed to him and also his personal choices and those involvement with it. That's the same thing he does with us. Okay, because we are conversant with him. Okay, within this priesthood, and by these terms, our salvation being sealed, we have the great promise of this adoption, as well as the personal, okay, and the precious things, okay, his direct involvement in your life. Okay, so we have this confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, because you're acknowledging the government, the truth, and the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings, the grace of God. Okay, so he gives us wisdom. Now, if we know that he hears us, and reflect confidence in this knowledge, if we know that he hears us, what shall we ask? We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Okay, that is, that for he accommodates and assists our prayers with wisdom. And now, if any man see his brother sinning sin, which is done unto death. Now, this is where it gets rather involving. Okay, because we're talking about a person that understands the priesthood, but is weak in his application, which we also see in the book of Galatians. Paul talks about the same thing. We're going to jump there in a second. Now you can discern those that lack this wisdom. They don't really know how to proceed in this confidence, though. See, though they believe in God, and they just need more instruction, that is to work out their salvation. They transgress the law, okay, but labor with grace. They transgress the law, but labor with grace. So let's go to Galatians and see these things. So make a note on that, okay, or put a... Make sure you put a marker there, because we're going to come back to 1 John, and we're going to finish that, and we'll be finishing up in Ephesians. Okay, so I'm going to go to Galatians here for a moment. We'll read a few verses. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, okay, those that bear the mark of his likeness, as the Spirit removes the poisons of sin, that's not a sin unto death. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or a fracture of a bone, crack in the bowl, you can say, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, you which live by this anointing, okay, we're applying the healing ointment of knowledge to them, but not to bury them in, okay, but rather to nurture them. See, so brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, as a nurse's care, considering yourself, because we all face the same things in the cycles of our regeneration, lest you also be tempted, and display doubt towards God's government, and deny the stewardship, and be seditious. So bear you one another's burdens, he says here. But yoke yourself with charity. That's how you bear yourself one another. Okay, bear you one another's burdens. And this we do through your prayers, intercessions, and your priesthood. So offering sacrifices. They bury another one in earth burns and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, now let's go back to 1 John. We're fulfilling the law of Christ through your priesthood. So that is not a sin unto death. Now, and he goes on here. Now there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. That has to do with those which stand in rebellion against stewardship and priesthood. That's a sin unto death. For them that sin not unto death. Now there is a sin unto death. Okay, that also has to do with the unconverted will always refuse this record. And so there's no remission. Okay, their sins are retained. So there's no remission. No remission is discerned in them, and they will resist grace. So the unconverted will use the law for their conscience, resisting this grace. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Now, we see the same things. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. So hide the word sin and righteousness. So, or here he says unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. All the tokens of man are grievous to be born because of the law. And there's a sin not unto death. Hey, but because Christ grants remission of these, to these converts. Okay, verse 18. Now we know, so we can discern in this judgment now, judgment to come. The Comforter, when he has come, he proved the world of sin, righteousness, and a judgment. Now we see the judgment here. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's a judgment. That means those that bear his likeness have remission. And you have remission because you're bearing his likeness. You're accepting the word of this life. Okay, so therefore you bear his likeness. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Okay, but he is begotten of God, keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. There it is. The wicked one touches him not. The judgment. Okay, the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. That's what Jesus said. For the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. The knowledge which he shares is untethered from my throne. Okay, and it will be expressed through those which are independent of my stewardship and priesthood. Okay, those which are severed from my throne are also, will also deny stewardship and malfunction in any kind of priesthood which they try to create for themselves. They'll malfunction in that. It's unsanctified. They'll try to replicate what they don't understand. Okay, they try to replicate it. It's like a plastic doll. Okay, a plastic doll. A mannequin. A mannequin, it looks real, but it's lifeless. And so Satan, okay, will manufacture lifeless knowledge. Okay, it looks like the real thing. It sounds like the real thing, but it's dead knowledge. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, okay, which means they will function in the tokens of remission. But he that's begotten of God keeps himself. Okay, he keeps himself, which means the nourishment follows. So that's the, but if you don't, if the nourishment doesn't follow, it's a sin, but it's a sin not unto death. All it needs is a tweaking of understanding and some application to this. You have to apply yourself. Okay, and that wicked one touches him not, which means Satan flees the pure conscience. He can't join to the soul. The pure conscience is a barrier to darkness. Okay, because the pure conscience is the very throne of access to our soul. And Christ is now in the throne of our soul. I say in our conscience. Okay, it's pure as he is pure. And of course the Bible brings that out. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, he that is pure knows all things. Okay, as also the Apostle Paul brings out to the book of Titus. Okay, if you want to turn there just for a second. Yeah, concerning unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even his mind and conscience is defiled. And even his mind and conscience is defiled. Okay, that's in Titus chapter 1, verses 16. Okay, now let's jump back to and close here. Okay, and back into Ephesians 5. As we're slowly moving through the book of Ephesians here. Okay, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I explain those things, okay, as we made references to that, those things which our Lord spoke of, okay, and which Chief Elder John understood and wrote in his epistle. Okay, now verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. See, that's the bonding and the building in the fear of God. Okay, for this is your wisdom to teach you his fear in the fear of God. knowing that He is our source of life. If the Lord denies us this life, our soul would dry or die in the vine. It would just die in the vine and drop off, which we see also in Revelation chapter 6, as fig leaves fall from a fig tree because of a powerful wind. Okay, and the church is in the midst of a powerful wind, okay, blowing upon the branches of the fig tree right now. Okay, and those which are not joined to Him through this covenant will fall away. Okay, the falling away is in process right now. Okay, those which are not joined themselves to this covenant, okay, will also deny themselves, okay, the benefits of the covenant, okay, concerning drinking, okay, of the well of life. Revelation chapter 2 brings that in. The Apostle John, by the revelation, we see as in epistles as well in the book of Revelation, we see Chief Elder John was pretty busy. Okay, but if we deny him, he will also deny us. If any man should take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, and now the city, and from the things which are written in this book. Right, and he talks about that. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So whosoever will, he says, the spirit of the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that hears come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And that's what we're doing. Okay, this knowledge is the cleansing water of your baptism. Okay, cleansing us and preparing us. Okay, not only for that which we're presently engaged with concerning this priesthood, okay, but also in things to come.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.